Stop punishing yourself with bland, chalky protein shakes and fuel your fitness with the best protein in the game at GNC. We've got the hottest brands and flavors that legit taste like cookies, your favorite cereal, indulgent desserts, and more. It's on at GNC.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
With my busy life, I use Shipt same-day delivery to keep up. When I need a jar of extra creamy peanut butter delivered, I know my personal shopper Amber will come through. And if it's not on the shelf, she asks them to check the back. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Nike, Walmart, and Zappos. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers. And Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Week 8 of the NFL season is in the books, and can we just rewind and start it all over again, because injuries were aplenty this past week. Welcome to this episode of the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Cal Nusslinger, joined as always by Brian Hartman and Mario Adamo Jr. We're going to break down what happened in Week 8 and get you ready for Week 9 of the NFL season. My only saving grace in this many injuries is that I won my matchups, so I'll take that. In some leagues, I really needed to get some wins, so. But my favorite team starting quarterback went down. And if you are a fan of football, your quarterback probably got hurt, because there are about 5-6 different quarterbacks who left their games with injuries, and we'll break down the fantasy impact on all of them, including one serious season-ending one and a couple other. We'll see where it ends up. But you know, this is the part where I usually ask you guys how your week went. Mario, your Eagles at least got the win, so we'll let you talk about that since you don't know how your fantasy matchups went.
I'll tell you, Cooper Kupp, that bum let me down. But you know what, George Kittle, he's finally the hottest and coldest tight end. I think he had something like 150, give or take, yards, so we'll give him the shout-out and the booms. But the Birds came back. You know, when the Commanders always play us tough. I was there last year for the Monday night game when the Commanders beat us, ruining our perfect season. So whatever it is, they always play us tough, but we won. That's it. A win's a win. Best record in the NFL. We'll take it.
And Brian, your Colts, well, they played a football game. How did they?
Dude, I mean, I can't really talk. Right now.
I can't really talk. Steelers, they also played a football game, and that was one of the they're a mess, and they were part of the quarterback controversy. So, Brian, how did your Sunday go? Hopefully, not as bad as the Colts. So.
Honestly, as a Colts fan, I'm loving it. We had no playoff expectations, so we're going out there. We're having fun. They're the only team to score 20 or more points in the NFL this season. They're averaging over 25 a game. I'm loving it. We're going out there. We're losing games like we should, getting draft capital like we should, getting ready for Anthony Richardson next season. Got a couple wins in fantasy. It's been a couple weeks, so I'm excited. Outside of the injuries, it was a great week 8. Loving it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say. And as we're recording this, it's our usual caveat, we're recording this while Monday Night Football is being played. I am rooting heavily for Jared Goff to put over more than 13 points to win one of my main home leagues. So let's all cross our fingers. Hope that goes well. And anyone else who's listening to this, hope their Monday night miracles took place. But we talked about the injuries, so let's just start there. Usually we start with some news, but there's a little more with the injuries, so we'll start with those today. And we'll start at the quarterback position because, like I said, there's a lot of it. We'll just get it right off the bat. Kirk Cousins, his season's over. He tore his Achilles. He joined Aaron Rodgers with the torn Achilles club. And his career as a Minnesota Viking is likely over. This was going to be a free agent at the end of his season. And it wouldn't shock me if the Vikings, as they are currently trying to push for a quarterback a playoff spot with that easy schedule, they sit at 4-4. If they let Kirk Cousins walk and go find another quarterback for this coming season. But obviously the main fantasy question here becomes, what do we do with our Viking skill players? TJ Hockenson, Jordan Addison has picked up and become a top 24, top maybe even high-end or wide receiver two, week in and week out at this point. Where do they go now? At this point, they have their backup rookie quarterback, Hall. They have Nick Mullins coming back from IR in week 10, potentially. Can we even be excited about any Vikings moving forward?
Jameis.
That would be so fun to see. Yeah, I think the Halloween deadline is today when you're listening to it is Halloween. So it's not a lot of time for them to put a move together. I'll say, I think Justin Jefferson, I still think he's going to come back, and I think he's going to be like the true QB, regardless of who's throwing there, QB proof. That's what I'm trying to say. Wide receiver, so you're not worried about him. As for Addison and Hockenson, admittedly, I'm a little worried. This could be a boost to Cam Akers. Maybe we see more running, but I really need to see. You're still plugging in Hockenson just because he's that much better. You need to at least see how he's going to perform with the new quarterback. I forgot his name. And then Addison, I think you still probably roll out there. There's a couple buys next week, including a couple good names like Cortland Sutton, Sun Guide, like Ridley, who's kind of already mad, but so I'll have to say you probably have a good excuse to start him next week, Addison, and just kind of see what goes from there one week at a time.
Yeah, it's Jaren Hall. I was blanking on the name as well. Jaren Hall came in and he did what we kind of expected him to do. So hopefully, for receiver stakes, I hope that Nick Paul Mullins comes back in week 10 as they're planning on him to come back from IR from his back injury. He's at least shown he can be a competent backup quarterback, but you definitely have to downgrade. Hockenson to me is still, you start him because it's tight end. He might be down in that Dallas Goedert, Kyle Pitts type of range, but he's still a weekly starter until we see otherwise, although we do have some exciting tight end streamers at this point. So we'll get to that in a little bit. Continuing with the quarterback injuries. This one looks severe too, but it looks like we got some good news. Matthew Stafford is currently day to day with a sprained ligament in his finger, on his right finger. So thumb. So we'll see what his status is for week 9. But yep, obviously it's a little bit early. Do you have any concerns for Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua going forward? It's now been two straight bad weeks, and you may not have Matthew Stafford in week 9.
Yeah, I definitely think there needs to be some sort of concern with it being on his right thumb. It's definitely a throwing hand issue. We've seen issues with Matt Stafford. Back in the day, he could tough through it, but these last few years, we've seen him absent, a good amount from the field. So I think there should be some concern. We've now seen back-to-back weeks where Cooper Kupp was not good. I don't even know what that looks like. I can't comprehend it. I still don't believe the box score. But I think this is, it's totally possible. If he misses any time, you aren't going to have the same confidence starting these guys. I don't think we're going to see two wide receiver ones come from this offense if we don't have Stafford out there.
No, absolutely not. It's been two straight bad weeks for Kupp. I think he's the one I still would prefer. Stafford clearly has that rapport with him. So if he's out, I would definitely be more confident in Cooper Kupp than I would with Puka. But we'll see. Monitor that situation closely. For Pittsburgh Steelers, Kenny Pickett left on Sunday with a rib injury. They do have the Thursday night game, and Mike Tomlin in his early reports has already kind of came out and said it's going to be a game time decision. Now we saw pretty quickly there's possibly a change in the guard back to who the new number one receiver is in Pittsburgh with Diontae Johnson. So Mario, same question. Which receiver do you trust more at this point? Do you start, are either of them quarterback proof?
I don't think either of them are quarterback proof. I just don't trust them. I haven't just seen enough out of them. But I guess in terms of which one I'm liking more is probably Deontay Johnson. I'm looking, he had 14 targets. I like chasing the targets. Again, I don't think he's quarterback proof. So if it isn't Pickett there, back there, I'm a little hesitant. But again, I mentioned it earlier with 4 bye weeks coming up. Deontay Johnson is still probably a better start than half the guys out there. So I'm still rolling it out there, but I'm definitely lowering my expectations.
Yep, I'll agree with you there. Move over to New York. Tyrod Taylor left with a chest injury. Actually went to the local hospital. Luckily, he got released. So good news on that front. So we had to see Tommy DeVito come in and play quarterback, and then the three of us threw for more passing yards than Tommy DeVito did in his NFL debut. Luckily for us fantasy managers, Daniel Jones has been cleared to play, and he will likely be starting again next week for the New York Giants. So at least our Giant pass catchers, whoever they may be, could at least be startable in the deepest of leagues, and we have some more intrigue than the Giants, and it's just Saquon Barkley, and that's it. So not too much more to add for the Giants, but the good news there, Daniel Jones will be back, and we won't have to watch Tommy DeVito take another start or another snap for the Giants at this point.
One thing I just have to call out is that the NFC East has some of the best, like, really deep backup quarterback names. They had Tommy DeVito, and then the Cowboys had Ben DiNucci for a little bit. So, like, just great quarterback names. You need to give that a shout out.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of when DeVito came in. I was like, wait, DeVito, DiNucci? This has been a fun time for, Italian.
Some representation in the NFL.
You immediately think of Danny DeVito and just grow the mustache. That's all you need. And the final quarterback injury is maybe an injury. Desmond Ridder did leave on Sunday with to undergo concussion protocol, but he also cleared the protocol, yet they stuck with Taylor Heinicke. So either of you think there's a changing in the guard in Atlanta? Do you think Heinicke gets to start in week 9? Do they go back to Desmond Ridder? Any read at this point right now?
Mario, I'll let you take this because I'm done predicting Arthur Smith. Me and it seems like a majority of the community. I got beef with the guy. We're not friends, not liking him.
Okay, so I'll say I think that the whole concussion protocol thing was just that Ridder was playing so badly that they just assumed he had a concussion. So they're just going that. They're trying to give him the out, basically. When Ridder would pass it, they're like, no, like, you do have a concussion. It's okay. Like, I do think Ritter's going to come back. Because still, you have to think, like, yes, they can win the NFC South, but what are they going to do after that? They're going to lose to the wild card week. You're going to lose at home. So why not just keep seeing as much Ridder as you can? If he's not the guy, that only helps your draft pick. And if he is the guy, then congrats, you have a guy. So I wouldn't be surprised, maybe towards the very end of the season, you have a game or two left. But I expect Ridder to continue to be the starter in Atlanta.
Yeah. And the final quarterback injury wasn't a full injury, didn't miss any time, but Jalen Hurts was noticeably limping throughout the end of that game for Eagles. Mario is our resident Eagles fan. It could be quick. Any concern about Jalen Hurts going forward?
Admittedly, a little concerned, but we do have the bye week after Dallas. We play Dallas this upcoming week. But after that, we have the bye, so I'm really hoping that he can just kind of manage it. It was just more so you saw him limping kind of on, like, onto the field, off of the field kind of situation. There's some questions earlier last week about, is he hurt? Just from running extra, we didn't see him run a lot last week. So it's another one, as long as he can get through this week onto the bye week, I'll feel better. But no concerns about starting him whatsoever.
All right, moving over to the running back position. Luckily, we avoided any serious injuries, but similar question. Jonathan Taylor was severely limited in the second half for the Colts, where Zach Moss was taking the majority of carries after Taylor looked like himself and broke off a 66-yard run in the first half. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got Jonathan Taylor back. switching over to you, Brian, as a resident Colts fan, did you notice anything that we missed? Is it just Colts being the Colts and having the 50-50 share, or is there something more with Taylor we should be worried about?
It's hard to look at that. He definitely had, I think it was nearly 90% of his rushing yards in just the first quarter alone. But the game script changed from quarter one to quarter 2-4. You know, they were up 17-7 at that point going into the second quarter. And from there, the Saints really started to kick things up. So was it game script? Was it a little bit of injury? I can't really find too much on it doing a little digging. So I think it's just something we're going to have to monitor going into the week.
All right. And hopefully it's nothing too big because I just traded for Jonathan Taylor a few weeks ago and was bragging to my friends about being able to pull off that trade. Well, that's what you get about for bragging. That's what you get for bragging.
It's on you.
Yeah. We talked about the Giants real quick. Darren Waller left with a hamstring injury, and New York Giants leading receiver Darren Waller, one reception for 4 yards, left with a hamstring injury in the first quarter. Did not return, so monitor that situation closely. He's been a reliable-ish tight end, so we might need to be finding more streamers. And then Kendrick Bourne, he's out for the season with a torn ACL. He's been a reliable PPR guy for the past few weeks. We'll get to the wide receivers for waivers in a little bit, but there's definitely one in our own QB list. Own Ben Brown has been touting up since week one. That's finally going to get his flowers on this show that we'll talk about in a little bit. So just a little teaser, Ben, if you're listening, shout out to you. You've been calling this one since week one, but finally we're going to give credit where credit's due, and he'll be a big name we're trying to pick up in Demario Douglas, but more on him in just a little bit. Over to the news and notes and updates. The Seattle Seahawks acquired Leonard Williams from New York Giants for a 2024 second-round pick and a 2025 fifth-round pick. Not too much for us for fantasy implications, but it's a good sign for the Seahawks. They're going for it. They pulled off a close come-from-behind win against the Cleveland Browns yesterday, or as we're recording this on Sunday. So they're pushing for the NFC West, and with how the 49ers have started to falter, might be your division for taking. Do you think that they have moved themselves to the favorites in the NFC West, or are you still buying the 49ers more?
I'm still buying the 49ers. I do think, what does it take for them to just, we saw how dominant they were against Dallas. We saw how dominant they were in the earlier games this season. They're almost like the Bengals, right? Like even in the early weeks when the Bengals were struggling and Joe Burrow was hurt, I don't know about you guys, but I still thought in my head, they're going to flip a switch. They're going to look like the Bengals of the past couple of years. And they did against the 49ers who we're talking about. I'm still believing in the 49ers. I think they'll get it together, but I need to start seeing it soon, right? Like I need to start seeing it soon, but I'm not jumping ship yet if I'm a San Fran fan.
I mean, it was a matter of time before Purdy came down to earth a little bit. Like, we needed to be humble a little bit. We needed to, pull back and like realign expectations here. This kid wasn't going to be undefeated his whole career, but a 3-game skid's a little bit more than I expected. So it's something that I imagine they will pick things up. We're going to readjust some, but I don't think they are unstoppable, clearly.
Yeah, the beginning of the season, they looked like possibly the NFC favorites. Now that position's probably jumped up to the Philadelphia Eagles, but their bye couldn't have come at a better time. 3 straight losses, they need the week off just to take a break, readjust themselves, and get ready for the back half of the season. So it's a good time for them to get that rest. Big news, actually, in terms of free agency, Leonard Fournette has been announced he's going to be signing with the Buffalo Bills. Kind of something that's been speculated for the past week or two is finally coming true. So I'll ask you flat out, will Leonard Fournette matter for us in fantasy moving forward?
No. Short answer. Brian.
Do we want any running back from this backfield now? Like, what is happening to James Cook's stock? Like, we've got Fournette there. I imagine Latavius Murray's getting bumped if Fournette's jumping in here. I don't know. Does Dalvin Cook get traded here too? Like, I don't know what is happening in this backfield. The days when it was Josh Allen scored the touchdowns and he did the running. That was the good old days, you know? I liked that.
Yeah, those were the good old days. Damian Harris was even, I don't want to say fully fantasy relevant, but he was getting short yard touches before his serious injuries. So maybe Fournette fills that role. Either way, it's going to hurt James Cook a lot. And any, touchdown or bust relevancy that Latavius Murray's had lately, I don't want a single Buffalo Bill running back at this point. If you have Cook and you could somehow sell him off to somebody, do it. It's just going to be a mess. And the final bit of news comes after Sunday night. The Bears have already announced that Justin Fields, he's missing another week. Tyson Bajan will make his third straight, this coming week. I believe it's against New Orleans Saints. He came back to earth a little bit after a good week one or good first start. Sunday night, he was humbled and he looked okay, but you know, had his moments where he looked like a D2 rookie against the Chargers. So, you know, temper your expectations for the Bears. Continue as Bajan will make another start in maybe his most difficult matchup so far of his three first starts in the NFL. But go get him. Let's see what happens. All right, before we move over to the waivers, we'll do what we always do with the big booms of the week, and we'll start at the quarterback position. You know, we could talk about, you know, quarterback 2, 3, 4, 5 with the usual candidates: Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert at quarterback 7. There was a lot of good quarterbacks this coming week, but that's not exactly fun. We don't want to just mention the guys we know who are going to be good, who were good. So, Mario, let's start off with you. Biggest quarterback boom of the week is...
It has to be, in my mind, it has to be for his very first career start. Will Levis drops 4 touchdowns, 238 yards, no picks. Maybe I'm really giving him his flowers because I started the Falcons defense, because it's like the Falcons have a pretty good defense and this guy's never played NFL football. So I like that matchup. No, I mean, Will Levis came in. He had 4 touchdowns. Tannehill has 2 on the year. So already doubled him in the one game. And turns out like DeAndre Hopkins is still good at football. I thought he was kind of washed. Turns out it was just maybe Tannehill was washed and couldn't get him the ball. So he made Titans football fun, Will Levis. So kudos to him. I don't know if he's viable going forward. This could have just been a flash in the pan. I forget who they're playing next week.
Pittsburgh.
There we go.
Yep.
Oh, on Thursday night. So that could be fun. You want a little spice? We talked about a couple quarterbacks got hurt. Why not take a chance?
Yeah, Mike Vrabel already came out and said that if Ryan Tannehill isn't good to go, which I'm not expecting to be on this short of a week, Will Levis will make another start. You shouldn't have to say if. He should be your starting quarterback, and you should go trade Ryan Tannehill to say the Minnesota Vikings, who need a quarterback right now. Ew. It wouldn't be pretty, but it's better than sticking with what they have right now. And it would open up the door for Will Levis to be the starter the rest of the way, which... You're not in the playoff position. Why not see what the kids got the rest of the way? Brian, over to you. Outside of Will Levis, let's talk about some other quarterbacks who stood out for you this week.
You're talking about quarterbacks from week 8, right? You're talking about Halloween weekend. You're talking about the weekend of the full moon. You're talking about, Sam Howell. Yes, that is right. The QB1 going into Monday night. He 52 passes this kid tossed. 397 yards, 4 touchdowns. He had a pick, but we don't look at that. 4 touchdowns. I love the Commanders-Eagles matchups. We've now had 2 of them. I hope we get a third one in the playoffs because these matchups have been so exciting. I don't know. NFC looks like garbage outside of a couple of teams, so who knows who's making it. But Sam Howell has ranked as a QB1 in weekly scoring 5 of the 8 games. He's been a top 7 quarterback 3 of the last 4 weeks. How is this kid not rostered all over the place? He needs to be started. And I'm getting started, so we'll move on. But wow, Sam Howell, loved it.
Yeah, it was a great stretch for Sam Howell. I was forced to start him in a league, and things have been pretty good. He reminds me almost in a way of Jameis Winston. He's just going to air the ball out, and who cares where it goes? You're going to get your turnovers with him. You're going to get sacked. But when he airs it out, he will throw for 300 yards. And his schedule the next couple of weeks is before the bye week is pretty juicy. The Patriots, the Seahawks, Giants, Cowboys, Dolphins. Those are some matchups you could take advantage of. So, yeah, if Sam Howell is still, for some reason, sitting out there in your league, go get him. You'll probably be happy the rest of the way. And I purposely left out with the early performances Dak Prescott as someone I wanted to just cover real fast. 304 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick as well. First game off the bye, and Dak looks like he is fully back. And similar situation to what I mentioned with Sam Howell, his schedule the next couple weeks. The Eagles, the Giants, Panthers, Commanders, Seahawks, and then the Eagles again. Those are some defenses that you can throw on, whether or not you're throwing to catch up against the Eagles or just bad defenses. So if Dak Prescott is available, or you can make a trade for Dak Prescott. I'll say he's going to be back into, you know, a top 10 weekly quarterback for me at this point. Just he's set it, forget it. He's I'm buying right back into Dak Prescott, coming out to buy, especially since they can't establish a run with Tony Pollard. So I'm falling for a trap. I've never really done it in my years of playing fantasy with Dak in the league. This year I'm doing, I think Dak's back to being a weekly starter right now. And I sure this won't blow up in my face by saying that.
Oh, no, my gosh. I'm just looking at his performances before week six, where he finishes the QB1. But we have finishes of 25, 19, 18, 17, and 29. But you know what? Like, just like Justin Fields last year, right? Is Dak Prescott the new Justin Fields? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I prefer to choose the weeks that fit into my narrative, Mario, but thanks for spreading the other narrative.
I rostered Dak Prescott weeks one, weeks two, weeks three, and I was like this, and now that I see this, I'm just hurt, and hurt people, so that's where I'm at.
No, it's definitely a concern, but like you said, we're losing a lot of quarterbacks. You got quarterbacks on bye.
And he's got great matchups, no doubt.
You probably have been streaming Russell Wilson a little bit. Jared Goff's been streamed. Trevor Lawrence has been started/streamed. Brock Purdy's been streamed a little bit. So, you know, Dak's at times, Brock Purdy's been streamed. But so there's definitely some quarterback needs there. And I think Dak Prescott would be a very easy start from this point. Over to the running back position, where again, the usual suspects were very good. Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Travis Etienne, Austin Eckler, Breece Hall. They're all very good. I don't have too much more to add, but if one of you guys want to add some more about them, go right ahead. But if not, let's take some other guys who jumped off the page and may have changed their value going forward. Brian, we'll start off with you at this position. The biggest boom at the running back position this week.
Well, he didn't quite make the biggest splash because he is coming in at RB8 as of right now. But Javonte Williams, a guy we thought was going to have to take a year to come back from this ACL injury. So maybe next year was going to be his year. He got some work on Sunday after the Broncos finally, after 16 games, took down the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. Javonte Williams had 27 carries, only 85 yards. He had three receptions, but I think the most promising part of that was he had a season-high 66% of Denver's offensive snaps. He also finished with 84% of the running back rush shares, and that was a season-high for him. So McLaughlin's been flirting, taking a little bit of that work from him, but when they've got the game under control, which probably won't happen a whole lot here, but when they have a positive game script, Javonte Williams seems to be their guy that they're going to run with.
Just like we all thought, the Denver Broncos were going to host the Kansas City Chiefs and be playing Taylor Swift at the end to troll Travis Kelce. That was the first road loss against an AFC West opponent in Patrick Mahomes' career. That's wow. Pretty impressive. But yeah, Williams, we all thought McLaughlin may be coming for that job. Not so fast. I think Javonte's got a firm grip on the running back one job in Denver, and you know, he's working himself right back in that weekly start candidate. Mario, any other running backs that you want to reference before we move on?
Yes, I'll give shout outs to the Gus Bus. He came in, rushed 19 times. Yeah, all aboard. 19 times for 80 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, he also caught 2 passes for 14 yards. But my biggest thing here is I feel like in the past when the main Baltimore running back went down, I'm blanking on his name, but he got hurt, and it was between Gus and Hill. We weren't quite sure like who's going to be. I feel like I was in the Hill camp, so I hope everybody went out and picked up Gus because that seems like it's the correct one, right? I mean, he's getting the yards, 80 yards, 3 touchdowns. What more can be said? You like 3 touchdowns.
It's J.K. Dobbins, by the way. The body's not even cold, Dobbins. And you're already forgetting about him. Dude Dobbins. Hit the end of a contract and torn Achilles. He's
I know Sharon's one, if you can tell. Yeah,
exactly. Too many. Way too many. Nick Chubb and Dobbins, dynasty. I went way too hard.
Oh, no. That's why we're thinking. Yeah.
Keep an eye out for the trade deadline. Like Mario said at the beginning of the show, the spooky Halloween trade deadline is Tuesday as you're listening to this. I hope the Ravens don't add another running back because Gus Edwards might finally be at that point where you say he's the lead running back in Baltimore. It would be very Baltimore for them to go out and trade for somebody and completely muck this up for everybody. so, yeah, keep an eye out for the Ravens trade. I don't think there's a lot of rumors of him potentially getting Derrick Henry. I don't think that's going to happen, but just monitor it closely. And if the Ravens do get a running back, then come hit us up on Discord. We'll figure out that spot after that. Go over to the wide receiver position where, you know, a lot of exciting names, guys we were hoping for big seasons, have turned things around to finally have their breakout week for this past week. So, you know, we could say the obvious names, but I'm sure, like we've been doing, we'll want to avoid. But shout out CeeDee Lamb. You finally had that big week we've been waiting for all season as the wide receiver one this past week. Oh, and a guy named AJ Brown. He's, you know, just made NFL history. No big deal. But Mario, I see you pumping your fists for AJ Brown. I know you guys want to talk some wide receivers. So let's hear it. Who's your biggest highlight from the week at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, biggest highlight is I kind of talked about a little bit with the Will Levis. So I'm going to just piggyback into DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I thought he was absolutely dead. I thought that, you know, I had a share of him in like a dynasty league. And I was like, you know, I'm trying to just like offload him, but like his value is too low. Like, you know, he's just like, it's over the hump. No, it turns out that just Ryan Tannehill was just that bad at offense. And Will Levis, he just sparked something. So Hopkins had 4 receptions for 3 touchdowns. Like, he just could not be taken down. Big boy strength, 128 yards. I mean, I'd love to see this going forward. This would have been great for me to have his upcoming games, but we have him as we speak. So after this, he plays, we'd already talked at Pittsburgh. We talked about the other guy. At Tampa, at Jacksonville, 3 straight road games. You don't like that, but none of those defenses scare you. So could be a nice little run for Tennessee in their offense.
Yeah, good to see Hopkins be back to DeAndre Hopkins. Like you said, matchup with Pittsburgh, you get him in your lineup because Steelers can't stop the deep threat at wide receiver like Calvin Ridley did this current week. And Hopkins, that's what he does best right now. And Levis, he's shown he's not afraid to chuck the ball up deep. So I think Hopkins will be a smash play against my Pittsburgh Steelers weakened defense. Brian, over to you. Any other wide receivers you want to highlight?
Yes, I'm so excited we finally get to talk about this guy in the boom section, but he was paired up with our guy, Sam Howell, this weekend and was catching everything. About time. He finally started catching the things, but the second year wide receiver from the Commanders, Jahan Dotson, finished as wide receiver 7 going into the Monday night game, of course. 8 receptions, 108 yards, and a touchdown. The interesting part was he really didn't see a target share that was much higher. He was still under 20%, but it was just the 24.8 PPR points that he walked away from, doubling his season high. So happy to see him finally getting involved. Maybe this continues, but I think this was kind of a product of the 52 passes. With his target share not increasing, the tight end still being a huge part of this offense, I think Dotson is going to be a flash in the pan here in the system.
Yeah, Curtis Samuel did leave that game with an injury. I don't recall what the injury was off the top of my head, but if he misses some time, maybe Dotson does get a little bit more time, but yeah, hopefully we see a little bit more because I've been waiting on it for weeks. But we talked about he'll be someone we'll mention with the waiver wires. We talked about DeMario Douglas at the beginning of the show with the Kendrick Bourne injury briefly. Which one would you rather prioritize, Douglas or Dotson?
Ooh, Dotson, I might be prioritizing right now. I just actually took a look at his target share. I think he has the second most targets on Washington right behind Scary Terry, so I like seeing that. There was like a little bit of back and forth between Curtis Samuel and Dotson. Yeah, Dotson has 49 targets. We just talked about how Sam Howell loves slinging it in like a Jameis-esque fashion. So I think you want the number 2 guy on a Jameis-esque fashion kind of team versus Mac Jones, where it's been hot, it's been cold. And it's like, I love the wide receivers on the Patriots. What am I talking about? But it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just the Commanders just play so good when they play against the Eagles. So I just have a boosted opinion of them. But I'd pick Dotson.
I think that's the winning part, is definitely the offense of the Commanders is much better. But DeMario Douglas, I don't think it should be overlooked. He is he led all wide receivers in snaps and routes. He's seen 3 or more targets than any other player in the offense. He's a rookie, but he's coming into it. It's not a great offense, but I just definitely think it's a piece that needs to be picked up.
Yes, both for doing it. I might prioritize Dotson just because I have, you know, it might just be that I have him in almost every league and was trying to draft him everywhere coming this year, so I want to be proven right. But I'll buy into the Commanders offense, like I said, a little bit more. The final receiver, I'll just do a brief shout out for Jalen Waddle. It's nice to finally have your big game against New England Patriots. 7 receptions, 112 yards, and a touchdown. We finally got to see him due to Waddle as well as their owner, which was a little cringe, not going to lie. Not the best version of the Waddle I've seen. But hey, you know, when you're 6-2 in the top of the AFC West, you can do whatever you want. Dolphins, I can't wait to watch that game against the Chiefs. We talked about it. That is going to be must-watch 9:30 a.m. TV. And you know, I'll be awake. I got to make sure I wake up for that. One last shout out as well to Rashid Shaheed. 3 receptions, 153 yards, and a touchdown. I don't know what to do with this one. He catches the deep bombs from the Saints, but when Derek Carr is not dumping the ball off 20 times to Alvin Kamara, he can chuck the ball deep a little bit to Rashid Shaheed, but it's the definition of boom bust. You talk about with Gabe Davis, talk about Tyler Lockett. He's going to have these weeks, and he's going to have his weeks where he has like one catch for 20 yards, and you're not happy starting him. So I don't know if I'd put him in a waiver wire priority, but maybe you guys can talk me into it a little bit more.
No, this was a product of the Colts secondary being absolutely destroyed. They are looking at the 4th, 5th, and 6th cornerbacks on the depth chart that were out there. They just got absolutely destroyed. It got burned. I don't think you can count on this A consistently, even if, you know, they're going against a bad defense. But yeah, I'm just not a fan of this at all.
100% agree. I left him out of the top 5 in the waiver wire column coming out. Should be out now as you listen to this, but 100% agree.
And one final shout out to Trey McBride at tight end position. 10 receptions, 95 yards, and a touchdown. We'll get to him with the tight end waivers, but if McBride's available in your league, go get him. The Cardinals are going to throw him the ball. I don't care if it's Josh Dobbs, Kyler Murray, or Clayton Toon throwing him the ball. Somebody's going to get the ball to Trey McBride because he is extremely talented and has second-round draft capital. He is a must-add for sure. And with all the booms come the busts of the week, guys. We are not as pleased to be starting. And I'll kick it off because we talked about Gus Edwards as a boom. So if he's going to have 3 touchdowns, that means somebody is going to be getting hurt, and that is Lamar Jackson. 18 of 27, 157 yards, and a touchdown. You would hope with a matchup with the Arizona Cardinals, he would be doing better, but when Gus Edwards runs the ball in for 3 times, well, games like this are going to happen. You're not going to be throwing it as much. I'm not too worried about Lamar Jackson, but definitely disappointing to see him do that against the Arizona Cardinals.
Right after we thought the Ravens were getting it together, their offense has been kicking. I'm like, all right, cool. Time to drop some prop bets, a little here, a little there, sprinkle some Ravens all over the place. No, this was a crap sandwich that I sprinkled this Raven dust all over. Horrible.
Yeah.
I had a parlay in that Ravens-Cardinals game, and it wasn't just, you know, Zay Flowers is the only Raven. There was like Murray DeMercado who screwed up. I figured they'd be dumping it off to DeMercado a little bit more. What do I know? This is why I host and let you guys do all the analysis. So that hurt me a little bit. And other one more quarterback since we're talking about busts. Patrick Mahomes. We don't get to talk about him much in this segment. We actually don't get to talk about Patrick Mahomes much because he's Patrick Mahomes and he's just very good. 24 of 38, 241 yards, and 2 interceptions. He looked bad, and he was attempting to make this his flu game. I don't know about you, but if I'm dealing with the flu, I don't want to be playing football in 20-degree weather. But that's just me. So it's rare we get to mention Patrick Mahomes. If for some reason anybody in your league is panicking, try and take advantage of that. But he's still going to be very good. The Chiefs are going to be very good. And again, I can't wait to watch him play the Dolphins in Germany. Well, let's go over to the running back position, where there may be some more bigger analysis. And we'll start with you, Mario. Anybody you're concerned with how things went in the running back room?
Yes, the first person that I'm concerned with, and this will even lead to a little waiver one, but Kenneth Walker III. Normally I give more of the shout out to the junior, so it brings me a little joy to see a third falter, but he looked bad. He rushed only 8 times for 66 yards. He had the 1 catch for 4 yards. And a little context for Walker, he did miss practice last Wednesday and Thursday. He did return to practice, so I don't know if maybe it's just like a lingering injury, what kind of messed him up there. And we'll talk more about waivers at the very end, but like little sprinkle here would be Zach Charbonnet, tricky name to say, but he saw more snaps, actually. It's the first time all season that Charbonnet out-snapped Walker. So I think that this could maybe be a little bit of signs to come. Like we'll see how Walker is in practice this week, but He was a bust, but I think it could be injury related, which then feeds into our waiver segment. So that's how I feel about Walker.
All right, Brian, over to you. Any other running backs that you know, you're going to be concerned about coming forward with based on their week 8 performance?
Yeah, just a couple. One, hang on, let me find the alarm because it's time to sound it. But Damian Pierce, holy crap. Now, this wasn't a great game overall for many pieces in the Panthers and Texans battle, the battle between number one and number two overall pick, which, hey, Panthers, congrats. Finally got a win. We have no more winless teams in the league. But Damian Pierce had 24 snaps in this game. Pretty good, right? You know, Devin Singletary probably had like 12, 13-ish. No. He had 23. Yeah, Pierce has now seen 50% or fewer of Houston's backfield rushes in consecutive games. He hasn't been targeted since week 5. I'm freaking out. This isn't a great offense to begin with. I mean, CJ Stroud has been great throwing the ball, but as far as overall like top-end offense, it hasn't been there. So now you're telling me I get half of a gross pie? I don't know. I'm not there.
Yeah, if you have Damian Pierce, it's time to panic. You can't start him going forward any stretch. And you mentioned the bad players, pieces in this Houston Texans offense. I'll just rattle it off real fast. And you stop me if you're concerned about any of them. Nico Collins, 4 receptions, 30 yards. Hoping you'd do better against the Carolina Panthers. Tank Dell, his first game back, 3 catches for 16 yards. But don't worry, he also had 3 carries for 15 yards. Sad first game back from concussion. And Dalton Schultz, we were buying him as a possible tight end streamer. 2 catches for 5 yards. So if you started a Houston Texan, you didn't have a great week in fantasy, which I didn't think I'd be starting a lot of Houston Texans, but this was a goldmine matchup. So disappointing. Not too much concern going far about any of them. And to wrap up the running back position, we're going to go back to Minnesota because Alexander Mattison, 15 carries, 31 yards, 1 reception for 2 yards, and he was actually outplayed by Cam Akers. So is there a change in the guard for the Vikings? Is Cam Akers the running back we want to own in Minnesota now?
I don't think so. It looks deceiving. He did get the goal line work and the touchdown, but if you look at the snaps itself, Cam Akers had 15 snaps and Alexander Mattison had 43. So yes, Akers was used as a pivotal piece on that, but the snap share is there's quite the gap between the two. So it's hard to read. But now with Kirk gone, do we really want anything in this offense? You know, Hawkinson's a safety blanket. Addison is, I don't know.
Yeah, really good point about that. I think that this week was just, yeah, maybe I'm a little bit on the Cam Akers. Like you said, he did get the goal line work. I was trying to see what the stats were for goal line, like for the red zone attempts. But I also realized Cam Akers hasn't been there all season. So Madison, of course, beats him out on that 14-5. But all that to say that I might take a chance on Cam Akers. Like if he's available, which I can't imagine he's probably available in your league at this time, but okay. Even from week 6 to week 8, Madison has 3 attempts in the red zone, 3 rushing attempts for -2 yards. Cam Akers has 2 rushing attempts for 9 yards and a touchdown. So both of them are terrible in the red zone.
Right. It's gross regardless.
So there's no winner there.
Yeah, it's going to be a messy situation. And when you have a backup quarterback in, you're not going to be able to really establish too much of a running game. So you're probably going to be starting one with the bye weeks, but just cross your fingers and hope you're picking the right one. Over to the wide receiver position, we talked a little bit at the beginning of the show with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, but they were both disappointing. I think, at least how I said it, I'd be more concerned about Puka going forward with the potential injury of Matthew Stafford. Then Cooper Kupp, do you either of you disagree with that, or is Puka, you know, where would you, right, is Puka becoming, if Puka even be a must start now if Stafford does miss time?
I think it's hard to bench him. Like, it's not that these guys are just breaking off these long touchdown plays or doing this incredible work. They're getting targets galore. And with how many running backs are hurt for the Rams right now, like, they're going to have to do something with the ball and something to keep the clock moving as well. So it could be quick little slants, quick dump off, screen game. So until we see it consistently, we kind of have from Kupp, but I'm still willing to put them in, especially as we start going back into bye weeks as we enter, phase two of the season with probably, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. Is that this offense just throws the ball. I think whoever's there, you know, I was going to say age before beauty, like you trust Kupp a little bit more, but I mean, Puka, I think he's earned the right where I'm still starting him until things are really on fire.
Yeah, I'd probably do the same, but monitor the situation closely. If he has another bad week and it is Brett Rypien starting at quarterback, then you might want to rethink that for the time being. At least this injury won't be longish term for Stafford, but you never know. It's still early in the week. And the final receivers, quick mention, Christian Kirk, disappointing game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. 4 receptions, 46 yards. He gave way to Calvin Ridley to be the number one receiver for them again, just for the time being. I think at this point, I'd still rather have Christian Kirk than Calvin Ridley in that Jaguar offense, but they'll probably rotate number one receiver weeks at this point. Matchup just seemed to favor Calvin Ridley again, but either of you have any worry about Christian Kirk at this point?
No worries. I had so much Christian Kirk on my Twitter by Friday and Saturday that I pulled him everywhere. It was just that gut feeling of like, we are way too solid, like too absolute on him hitting overs that like, yeah, we have to pull back. And when you really looked at it too, the Pittsburgh Steelers were giving a lot to wide receivers, but they're giving it to the outside wide receiver. They're giving it to that work that Calvin Ridley was playing. So it was one of those situations where it all kind of lined up and made sense. I think both these guys are going to get plenty of work. But Evan Engram, 10 for 10. Yeah. You guys remember when we said he couldn't catch? What? God. Love me some Evan Engram, man.
Yeah, with TJ Hockenson out, Evan Engram might be jumping into that right where he is it get up 3-4, right where we had Sam Laporte at the point. Oh, the things we say in 2023. Over to the waiver wire, where, like we said, the injuries were at the quarterback position. Nobody, we didn't have that big breakout performance. There's no, you know, no Jerome Ford, no like guy we're dropping a bunch of fab on for this week. Nobody who extremely broke out and is, you know, the main priority to go get this week. But a lot of depth names, a lot of guys are going to be stashing to start building yourselves up for, you know, that stronger roster as you go towards the playoffs. So Mario, we'll kick it off at the running back position. Give me the top couple, you know, top priority or two at running back.
Yeah, so here's the top guy I have in the waiver wire article, so you don't have to read it, but please do still read it. And that would be Daryl Henderson Jr. I mentioned earlier, like, my shout outs to juniors. He is rostered in 60% of ESPN leagues, but only 45% of Yahoo leagues. So this is for you Yahoo listeners, maybe sleeper too. But basically, Daryl Henderson, he led the team in rushing attempts. He went 12 for 31. Don't really love seeing that, but he did catch all three of his targets for 54 yards. So that's kind of what gives him the edge over backfield mate Royce Freeman, who I think is also a solid-ish add. But Daryl Henderson just kind of does it all. He's a little bit more involved in the passing game. And then next week they play the Packers, who allow the 9th most points to running back. So I think he's pretty solid. We know that Kyren Williams is still in the IR. With Matthew Stafford, maybe they pass a little bit less to the running backs, but I think that they're still going to get him involved. They're going to want to do like the dump offs, the wheel route. So I kind of see Henderson still getting some action.
Yeah, I think Henderson's a great play. He's kind of cleared himself up as the main guy in LA over the past 2 weeks. And without Stafford, I think they might have to lean on Henderson even more. So he probably does fall in near the top. Brian, let's go over to you. Other running backs you are prioritizing, is Henderson one for you? Or if he isn't, then who's your top priority?
He's definitely somebody that I have my eyes on, depending on, you know, like you said, where roster percentages and leagues and stuff like that. A couple of guys that I am looking at as well. I feel like it's that mid-season changing of the guard we're seeing on some backfields. And we kind of touched on him. Singletary, obviously, it seems like he is becoming more and more a part of this backfield in for Houston. Houston has a pretty decent schedule coming up too, so I think he's somebody you should look at. And Chuba Hubbard, wow, he took over this backfield. I think it was 2 carries for 0 yards. Yes. Miles Sanders did not do well with the handful of attempts he had. I think Chuba Hubbard might be taking this over, so I'm interested in him as well. And then, yeah, you touched on Charbonnet, Mario. I think he is another guy that he's definitely not taking over. Let's not run with this. But if Walker's hindered, if he needs to sit down a little bit and they need to share that workload, Charbonnet looks great in that offense. So
yes, he does.
Those are all three guys that I think right around that 40 to 60 roster percentage, but talented guys that could definitely do something with medium workload.
And I want to just add, okay. I just wanted to talk about Singletary just a little bit. Like we talked about how Dameon Pierce is kind of, you know, he's on like the worry list. Singletary has actually outscored him the last 2 weeks of PPR. So it's just like one of those instances where it's like, why are we starting the RB2 on a team? Singletary, you know, he wasn't really much of a threat last year, not too much at the beginning of the season, but he's getting more and more snaps, more and more involved in this offense. So Singletary is like another one of those I might be sprinkling a little bit on in deeper leagues.
Brian, you mentioned Miles Sanders and his horrible game. 2 carries, no yards. Chuba Hubbard, a main back in Carolina. Does that make Miles Sanders droppable?
I think it does. I think we're at that point. And now I'm kicking myself at week 4 when I said, no, we're going to hold on to him a little bit longer. Yep. We're going to see how this – I just wasted a roster spot the last month. Love it. But, yeah, I think if we're – most leagues, you're probably looking to have other pieces on your team at this point. You may be loading up. If you've got several wins on your team, you're loading up for, you know, depth RB pieces, maybe a couple defenses to, you know, play a week ahead. But bench spots are too vital right now, especially with the quarterback landscape. So, Miles Sanders, see ya.
Stinks.
First game off a bye week, you would think they'd have at least in a 50-50 or something to keep him involved. Nope. Said it's thanks. Chuba's backfield. I guess Chuba, I get if you want to stash it, but Chuba is a must add for sure. If you can get the number one running back anywhere, especially in Carolina where Bryce Young's they're gonna have to hand the ball a lot if you want to win games with Bryce Young at quarterback. So Chuba definitely a priority for me, right up there with Darrell Henderson. If you're in deeper leagues, Leonard Fournette. He might be the starting running back for Buffalo. So you're going to say he's going to be rostered. If you have a spot, stash him. If you can get the lead running back in the Bills, that's going to be something, but it's a messy situation. He's probably not high up in priority. Pierre Strong, he played into the mix in Cleveland with Jerome Ford. Definitely wasn't 100%, but they pushed him through. Kareem Hunt was probably the best of the running backs. I think Kareem Hunt might be my favorite running back in Cleveland the rest of the way, but that's a conversation for another day.
Did y'all see the snap count over there in Cleveland?
No.
Jerome Ford, 23. Pierre Strong, 24. Kareem Hunt, 27.
Wow. So they're spreading the love.
So when I said Kareem Hunt is the best running back, I was right. No, that's a – jeez. Why did teams do this to us? Don't they know we have a show we got to record and you know, we have to tell you who you should roster? From these teams up. So yeah, Pierre Strong is gonna play in. So if you're in a deeper league and you are desperate, I think Pierre Strong's a fine pickup. If Amari DiMercato is still sitting out there in your leagues, I would be interested in him. He still was the most talented of the Cardinals running backs. If you want to talk about talented running backs, week 8, 20 carries, 78 yards. So he's the lead back for the Cardinals, and they might be starting Kyler Murray again. That's something we probably should have hit at the beginning of the news that I had overlooked that we don't know who the starter is going to be, but it's not going to be Josh Dobbs. That's what we know so far. If I'm a betting man, I will say it'll be Kyler Murray, but we'll see. So monitor that situation closely. If you get the running back for him, I do prefer Amari DiMercato. So anything you want to add about those names? And before we move over to the running backs, let's just remind – or move to wide receiver, excuse me. Let's rank them, your top 3 priorities at the running back position, unless you want to add some more to any names I mentioned.
No, okay, so if I'm going with my top, I mentioned Henderson's my number one guy. I do have Charbonnet as number 2, just because I know in Seattle, they love running the ball, and if there is any Walker injuries, like I wouldn't be surprised after he was a little bit hurt last week, he had a kind of meh performance this week. I wouldn't be shocked if they play it safe and take him out. And then my number 3, if available, I'd say Chuba Hubbard. He is the starting running back in Carolina. Like Miles Sanders is irrelevant fantasy-wise, football-wise. So those would be my top 3.
Brian?
The higher-end percentage guys, I think Spears, Gus Edwards, and Henderson. I guess those would be like my top three, depending on if they are available. Right below that, I'd probably go Hubbard, Charbonnet, and Singletary. And Fournette, it just scares me. He is so good at pass blocking. I think he's going to be on the field a lot, but I think he's that landmine I'm going to leave out there for one of my my fellow league mates.
Yeah.
I think I'll join you with that. I'm sitting back and letting somebody else take the Fournette grenade. And
easily.
So, yeah, I'll probably put do the same thing you guys did. Henderson, Hubbard, and then Charbonnet would probably be third for me. But I'm still kind of intrigued about Amari DiMercato. I might be one of the few guys left who still has some intrigue in him. But he probably won't make top three. But while everyone else is focusing on them, I might slip in a few DiMercato bits. Over to the wide receivers, where we talked about at the beginning of the show, Jahan Dotson, Rashid Shaheed, and there's one other, Demario Douglas, were all higher up there in terms of ads at the wide receiver position. So, Mario, if those aren't your top priority, let us know who is or somebody else that you want to look at for to replace the wide receivers.
Dotson's probably my number one. Someone I do want to give a little bit that we didn't really mention is Brandon Cooks for the Cowboys. He's got a touchdown in each of the last two weeks. Dak feels like – it seems like they're throwing the ball again early in the season. Like I said, I had Dak in fantasy. I was very aware how much the Cowboys did not throw the ball. They're throwing the ball now. They're playing the Cowboys next week – or excuse me, the Cowboys are playing the Eagles next week, who allow just shy of 29 points per game to wide receivers. So our secondary is torched. I think the Cowboys – I think CeeDee Lamb's going to feast, but I wouldn't be surprised to make it three in a row for Brandon Cooks. I think he's a really solid flex play, especially with the bye weeks back.
Brian, anything – any other receivers you want to highlight?
Josh Downs, I think we just need to say his name. We've been saying it for weeks, but if he's still out there – it was 7 receptions for, I think, 71, 73 yards this week. He continues to get it done in PPR formats. He's going to be a gold mine. So he's definitely out there. I know we said Shaheed's a shot in the dark. He is. But with the Bears and the Vikings coming up, he does have favorable matchups. So he is still somebody you can look at in deeper leagues, depending on what your situation is. But JSN, I feel like he got dropped quite a bit. Lockett, we seem to be dealing with some injuries. Metcalf's got some injuries. And it's that midseason turnaround where rookie wide receivers all of a sudden realize, oh, I'm in the NFL and it's time to play. So I think JSN needs to make sure he is off the waiver wire and on rosters.
Speaking of I'm in the NFL and it's time to play as a rookie, Quentin Johnson had 5 receptions, 50 yards for the Chargers, and actually looked like maybe a first-round rookie. We've been waiting for that breakout, and Josh Palmer was clearly not 100%. He did leave for a little bit of an injury. Are we buying into him as a breakout, or is he still lower in our priority?
I'm buying in. I will say he's definitely one of my honorable mentions in the article coming out today. Still read it. But yes, Quentin Johnson, it was his first week getting more targets than Josh Palmer. I really think he's a first-round rookie, right? Like, I think sometimes we get a little bit spoiled by some of these wide receivers, these first-round talents that just come in and just show up. I mean, Puka definitely stole all the rookie hype. He showed up immediately with his 10-plus targets every single week. But Quentin Johnson, I think as he's going to get worked into the offense, I think he could be a great kind of when Amon-Ra St. Brown like kind of just appeared out of nowhere the last 4 weeks of the season and kind of won people some leagues. I wouldn't be shocked if Johnston does that. Like, I would get my shares now while you can, if you're in a position to, and just let him develop. I think he is someone I'd very comfortably have a bench spot dedicated to.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect way to say it. You don't want to play him if you need to win right now because he's still very volatile. He could very well next week go for 1 for 5 again. But if you have a bench spot and you're sitting at 6-2, 7-1, something like that, and are coasting towards probably getting a playoff spot and you want to stash somebody, Quentin Johnson could be up there in terms of a priority. So before we go over to some of the streamers, let's rank the wide receiver position, your top three priorities. Brian, we'll start with you this time.
Ooh, I'm going to throw it out there that Josh Downs is not out on the list. I'm going to go with JSN. I don't know. probably JSN, Brandon Cooks, and then somebody I think we haven't mentioned, but I think deserves a little mention here, is Khalil Shakir from the Buffalo Bills, the second-year wide receiver. We saw Dawson Knox hit IR with a wrist injury. It's an indefinite, so we don't know how long he's going to be out. Could just be the four games, could be longer. But as a result of that, we did see the hype of rookie Dalton Kincaid, the other tight end, get a lot more work. He scored his first touchdown. But not only the result that he's going to see more, but instead of them playing more 12 personnel with two tight ends, they're going to 11. So now they're running three wide receivers, and Khalil Shakir was definitely – he saw work this past week. So I think there's definitely an argument to be made that you might see – you know, Cole Beasley was a godsend to Josh Allen early in his career. He did so much as that little slot guy, so I think Khalil Shakir can do that for him as well.
Mario?
Yeah, so my top guys, Dotson's probably number one, and I'll say he's the one that's kind of closest to that 50% mark. But I am just liking his usage right now. After that, I'd say Brandon Cooks. Like I said, hot hand, and he's playing the Eagles, who have the softest secondary, I hate to admit it. And then this one, Quentin Johnson, he's my one for, like you mentioned, if you're 6-2, you're 7-1, you feel really comfortable with him. If you aren't in that position and you need a guy now, it's probably between JSN or DeMario Douglas, just because for whatever reason, I'm a sucker for New England Patriots wide receivers, as bad as they are.
No, I'm definitely buying into the Patriots wide receivers as well. I'll probably have Douglas in my top three with Cooks, and I'll probably be with Dotson. And Downs is definitely one. I'm just taking him kind of out of the list because in my head, he should be. If Downs is available, yes, exactly. He's definitely top priority, but in my mind, he's unavailable. But of course, if he's available, like Brian said at the beginning of the segment, go get him because he is going to be great the rest of the way for the Colts. Let's go over to the streamers because you probably lost Kirk Cousins. You're probably going to have to replace a possible quarterback for these coming weeks. We talk about Sam Howell and how great he's been. We talk about Will Levis and how great his debut was. They may be our top two targets. So, Mario, are they the top targets? Is there anybody else that you want to stream this week while you have four teams on bye?
Yeah, so for the streaming, I'll probably do Levis. I'll probably be like, hey, the last guy that threw four touchdowns in his debut was Mariota. And, you know, we know how that turned out. Oh, yeah, that's a fun stat. Oh, needed to plug in. I forgot to mention it earlier. But, Will Levis, he's fun. The Steelers, though, I mean, if they're a home underdog, I mean, that's the where they shine. So it's probably going to be a week where Levis comes back down to earth, crashing. But, listen, I'm with the excitement. I'd start Levis. Give me Mayo, man.
And you forgot to mention, I'm pretty sure Fran Tarkington also did four touchdowns in his opening game. So there is some good company with that stat as well.
Oh, my gosh. I got to check my facts. I'm in a bad sport.
Well, Mario just pulling him down a little bit. But, God, I remember that game. It was so exciting.
I remember in college. Did they play him and Jameis faced off in their debuts, didn't they?
Like, I believe so. Because like, Jameis was going through a pick. He threw a pick on his first pass.
Yes.
I love that. That's just separate from him.
Man, we watch way too much football.
I love it.
Yeah, it's great. But Brian, any other quarterbacks outside of Howell and Levis that we need to consider streaming for this week?
Maybe not necessarily streaming, but as we touched on, but just going to echo it, Kyler Murray, grab him. It's definitely worth a stash in your league. Derek Carr against Chicago. They're going to be in a good game script with a backup quarterback. Derek Carr can connect with Shaheed. We saw for 153 yards to Shaheed on three passes. That was just unreal. But yeah, I definitely think he's a good option if you're in a pinch.
I definitely like him as well. And I like the Kyler Murray echo. I think he's got the most upside of all of these candidates to be a starter the rest of the season. But if you're in a pinch, you got three really good candidates. I might even put Sam Howell at two if you're looking for a long-term solution. But I like the streaming candidates for us the way. Honestly, I just want to howl at the moon a little bit longer. So I just want to keep that. I keep wanting that. We'll go over to tight end where we're going to take Trey McBride off the list because he is very good. And he's the clear one. I think we can all three of us agree. If you want to wax poetic about him more, we can. But
no, no.
I, talked a good amount about at the beginning of the show. You want the number one target in Arizona, and no matter who's throwing the football, that's what it's going to be. But any other guys we should be looking out for at tight end, because, well, we are going to be without George Kittle this week. We are going to be without Sam Laporta this week, and we're going to be without Evan Ingram. That's three of the top 12 tight ends in fantasy, so you're going to be needing to replace the tight ends.
Yes, I'm probably looking at give me chaos, give me Taysom Hill. I mean, why not? He is just the gadget man, the Swiss Army man. He faces off against, drumroll, Chicago next week. They don't scare you in any position. You can't even be like, oh, well, they're good against, they're not good against anything, and Taysom Hill does everything, which probably means this will be the game he gets one rushing attempt and a target. But Taysom Hill, he has number one finish. Oh, this is standard scoring. He has a top three finish this week before Monday Night Football, and then he was top five the week before. So riding the hot hand.
The one thing to watch with that, though, is I did notice Juwan Johnson came back in this past game, and Taysom Hill's routes dropped down drastically. He came back down to only 12 routes, but we still saw plenty of rushing usage, and he still tossed one. So if he's still rushing that many times and he's catching the ball and throwing it, I still think he's always a wild card up there. But as far as the target share that we were seeing earlier, I think that might come down to earth a little bit. But I still love the pick. I'm still streaming him. I'm still jumping in with you. Don't think this is negative, folks. This is just change your expectations.
Yeah, I think Taysom Hill might be my favorite. And if you listen to this show for the past 2 years or so since I've been on it, whether it's Mario co-hosting or now Brian and Mario or AJ at the beginning of this show, anytime we mention Taysom Hill, I think we've kind of all threw up in our mouths a little bit. But now he is at the point of just stardom. And I get the concern with the that he's back to his usual, he can score a touchdown and be a good tight end this week. His routes might be down, but he's gonna get the goal line carries again, and it's a messy situation, but I do like that. I like Jake Ferguson as well. He had a good week again against the Rams and had a really nice touchdown catch, and I waxed poetically at the beginning of the show about Dak Prescott. You guys waxed poetically about Brandon Hooks. Let's highlight another Cowboy. Ferguson had four receptions, 47 yards and touchdown, have a favorable schedule coming forward. So Ferguson might be my next favorite to possibly join that, where we have Sam Laporta breaking into that top 12. So I'm a big Ferguson believer moving forward as well.
And I think my tight end, my favorite one, at least deeper tight end, is going to be Parham from the Chargers. We saw Everett miss this game. We're seeing the wide receivers for the Chargers banged up a little bit. We have six touchdowns that have gone to the Chargers tight end so far this season. Parham has four, and then Everett has two. We have three straight touchdowns going to the Chargers tight ends in three straight games. So I think that when Herbert's looking for that big body presence, you know, when they're down there in the red zone, down there in the end zone, I think it's that tight end position. Parham's 6'7". He is a big fella. Athletic guy, so is Everett. So I think these guys, either way, whoever is the starter, I've been starting them up in plenty of leagues, and it's paid out the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think it's going. And also, the weekly reminder, Logan Thomas. The Commanders clearly are using their tight ends. They're playing the Patriots, so if Logan Thomas is out there, he's a fine streamer as well. He might be towards the bottom of it in terms of upside, but he's a safe bet. One last position, we'll go over to the defenses where, like I said, there's a lot of backup quarterbacks playing and Daniel Jones. So there's a lot of quarterbacks you can attack to plug and chug for this week. So, Mario, do you have a favorite defense streamer for the week?
Oh, man, it is tough out here in these streets. Part of me wants to say the Falcons. They're going against Minnesota, and we already know who's throwing the ball, so I don't have to say it again. Not because I forgot his name. Hal? One of those. But the Falcons, I had high expectations against a rookie quarterback doing his first start, and they kind of let me down there. So I may have the Commanders as my number one. They're going up against the Patriots. I feel like Mac Jones is like the kind of guy who could just go ahead and throw three interceptions any given day. The front four is great on the Commanders. They know how to get home, so I think Commander's probably my number one.
Ooh. Brian?
I'm going to go with the shotgun approach here. You just really want to play a defense that's playing against a backup quarterback. And, you know, there's only, what, one or two? No, there's plenty of those. You go with the Packers against the Rams, who may have a backup. Titans playing the Pittsburgh, who may have a backup. Falcons playing Minnesota with a backup. The Chargers playing the Jets with a backup. Or, you know, Texans against Tampa. It is Baker, but, you know, he just has that backup feel about him.
Really,
I don't think you could do wrong with any of those. I think all of those teams have that touchdown upside to them. And I feel like that's usually what I swing for with the defense. Somebody who's not going to go negative and has that scoring potential.
Yeah, you know, I'll throw over New York Giants, too, as an option. I know people might like the Raiders, who are playing the Giants and Daniel Jones this first game back. That's a good streamer. But the Giants, two straight weeks now of, you know, four more sacks. They had two fumbles past week, combined 20 points allowed the past 2 weeks, including also 14 against the Bills. It's three straight weeks allowing 14 or fewer points. They played the Raiders, who haven't exactly been a great offense, so yeah, I don't think the Giants would be a bad plug-in for at this point when they play Vegas, who, no, Jimmy Garoppolo is not a backup, but at times he looks like that Baker Mayfield conversation of plays like a backup, so I think you could do worse than playing the New York Giants at on defense. That's
well, with that, then you might as well play the Raiders on the other end, because what, the Giants just put up 7 passing yards this past week. Yeah. Why not? Roll the dice.
That's a good point.
Roll the dice in Vegas, right?
Yeah. So I think what we're learning here is you don't need the elite defenses streaming for this week. There are plenty of options, like you said, especially with all the backup quarterbacks who may have to make starts. So don't waste fab on defenses. There will be a lot of options to replace them for this coming week. That's going to do it for this episode of the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. If you want to find the show on Twitter, you can find us at, or X, I guess, at the QB List. We'll have the weekly articles, start, sit, what we saw, streamers, all of that good jazz, our rankings, a great resource as we move forward to this middle part of the season, and of course, access to our Discord at PL Plus, where you can have 24/7 access to the staff, talk football, start, sit, decisions, trade advice, dynasty advice, all of that fantasy football goodness that you look for, not just on the website, but in the Discord. Mario, Brian, we'll see where you can find you on Twitter and your weekly articles that you'll continue to pump out.
Yeah, so Mario Adamo Jr. on Twitter. You can find me there, as well as in the Discord. You'll find me on Reddit, super active in the sit start threads. And then I also come out with the waiver article, mentioned it a couple times, gave you a little teasers about some of the guys in the article this week. So give it a read. Comes out Tuesday, same time as you'll see on this.
And then you can find me on Twitter at @too_much_Brian. You can find me, you know, a little bit of Reddit, a little bit of Discord, wherever you need to find me. You can find me on QB List as well. If you're looking for those tight end streamers, you're just looking for a little pain in your life, I'm here to help you or join in with you.
Yeah, so let's hope that this week brings us a little bit less on the injury front. Hopefully, you guys can get those waiver wire darlings to help you build towards a possible playoff berth. So we're halfway through. That's the crazy part, is we are, after next week, we'll be halfway through the NFL season. Because like just yesterday, we did our first show together, but it's been a fun ride, and we still got a long, long way to go. So we'll catch you next week, and good luck.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.